Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to RotoViz Overtime and RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm joined by Sean Siegel, my co-host here on the RotoViz Overtime podcast, co-host of Stealing Bananas and co-owner of RotoViz.com. You can find all his great work up on the website. Sean, we are into, well, technically for the listeners, this will be our fifth show of the week. We've done two kind of normal shows, three draft shows this week, so lots of content coming out for people to check out, to get their teeth into. I don't know if you can get your teeth into audio content, get your ears into it. I'm not sure what the correct way to do that is, but we're going to have a fun one here to round off the week, talking about ADP reaches and when's the right time to reach and when's the wrong time to reach. We'll be diving into that with a listener submitted question in just a moment. But Sean, closing out the week, how are things for you?
Good. We've been doing a lot of drafts. I have a couple of RotoViz Triflex startup drafts going on, and those are just, they're the most fun that you can have in fantasy. I think one I'm doing with Patrick Corain, who listeners will know as the superstar over at NBC Sports Edge and one of the best minds in Dynasty. The other one that I'm doing with Matt Jones, who's been putting out some really cool content for us. He's the writer of the Fantasy Multiverse series. It's an absolute must read. And one is a very high dollar one. One is a little bit lower dollar one. One we're kind of doing as a dynasty workshop-ish type of play. The other, you know, Pat and I need to win with how much money we put in. So it's a very different dynamic. One is out of the 103. One's out of the 111. Those create some very different dynamics. I'm writing about them on the site in the Dynasty Workshop, and I encourage people to jump over there if they're thinking about getting into another dynasty league. But Colm, you and I are also drafting Fast and Furious in a wide variety of best ball leagues. And we're going to get into some interesting questions with that today.
Yeah, we're trying to sharpen all those tools, drafting in as many different formats and varieties as we can. We are drafting over at the FFPC. We're also drafting over at Underdog. You can sign up to Underdog and use that promo code RotoViz to get yourself a 100% sign up bonus up to $100. Sean, I did a draft with Zachary Kruger and with Pete Overzet. So you mentioned Pat Corain, but Pete and Pat. And then I mentioned on the last show about a kind of a multiverse of all the Stealing Bananas stuff, but we can probably add the ship chasing guys into that and pair it all up. But a real fun draft as we drafted in the Superflex tournament over there at Underdog. And that is up on the RotoViz YouTube channel. It will be up on the RotoViz Best Ball podcast feed as well. But really fun times there. So we're drafting in all different formats and varieties and having a really good time with it as well. We're going to move on, Sean, now to a question that came in on Twitter from Parker. He mentions he's digging into all the tools up on the RotoViz website, the best ball tools specifically. So he doesn't recall much conversation around this on any of the podcasts. So the specific scenario that he has mentioned is what to do in spots of the draft where taking the best player available, pair the rankings on the website or pair his own personal rankings or pair your rankings would be a reach by ADP. He mentions the example that came for him in the best ball mania tree over at underdog.com. Waddle being the best player available, then DJ Moore and Deontay Johnson. Josh Allen's also in there as well. And then he's asking, would we take Jalen Waddle? So if we look at the players that were available on the board at the time by ADP, though, it is Nick Chubb, Mike Williams, Josh Allen, Michael Pittman, James Conner, Jalen Waddle, Courtland Sutton, DJ Moore, Ezekiel Elliott, Travis Etienne, Deontay Johnson, Darren Waller. So what he's saying really is there's a lot of players there by ADP, but based on your rankings, then the best player available would likely be Jalen Waddle, who is in the mid-range of that ADP. So then when are we taking that player ahead of one of those other players in front, and that's classed as a reach? When is it not a reach, I guess? And then, you know, at what point should we not be doing that? I think anything within, for me, I'll let you give the proper answer, but within half a round to nine picks, I think could be seen as a reach. But if it's a player of the right profile that you want to draft, I think those reaches are fine, in my opinion. You know, I've been reaching a little bit, if we want to call it that, on Rashad Bateman, for example, this year. But there is certain areas where the draft becomes a little bit flatter, and I think that's more where the reaches happen. In this specific scenario, Sean, what would your thoughts on how to decide whether to reach or whether to take the, I guess we'll say, the quote-unquote safe player at ADP, for example, in this case, Nick Chubb?
There's so much that goes into this, and it is a fun element as we kind of develop through time with the way that you want to draft. And there are a variety of ways to do it. I don't think that any of the ways, at least that I prefer, are necessarily wrong. But you want to think through how you want your teams built. And so we know that the structure element is going to come into play. I very strongly believe that you need to combine structure with player selection to give yourself the best chance and really create these individual seasons where you just have incredible results. It's not going to happen every season. And I think I mentioned on the show before that in the last, say, 15 years, there are about 4 years where I feel like my rankings perform pretty poorly. And, you know, 2022 could be that year. And so one of the things that, if you're worried about that element of it, then you want to be even more cognizant of getting values. But getting values is always going to be an important part of what we do. And one way I think that might be helpful to think about this is to divide the players on your board into buckets of players that you want to have a very high exposure to, players that you're willing to draft and you think that could be good pieces to have some exposure to when you get a value on them. And then the players where, you know, more or less you don't think that they fit your drafting profile and they don't have very strong likelihoods of outperforming ADP. You know, so we talk about the big win, small loss types of players. That's more or less the profile that we're going after. ADP is getting sharper in terms of identifying those players and kind of moving them into a range where, you know, then sometimes you look at them and say, well, these guys are actually a little bit above what the projections say. But drafters understand that from a scenario-based perspective, there are a lot of different ways that they could crush, and it's going to be difficult to reflect all of that in projections because you have teammates. We don't know what teammate injuries are going to happen. We do know that injuries will happen. And one of the things that you will see is that running back injuries play a very dynamic role in the course of the season. That's one of the reasons why zero RB works. But teammate injuries will play a role also at wide receiver, not necessarily moving backup wide receivers into a starting role and dominating for you there, but it can influence the ultimate upside for the other starting wide receivers who are sort of already being looked at in your lineup. So there are a lot of different elements that go into that. But one of the pieces that I do right before the season, and I'll probably need to put out some closer to the middle of the summer this year as well, sort of an early look at it, but priority picks, other targets, players that I'm not drafting, you know, occasionally the players I'm not drafting will hit too, so that will happen. But when we're looking at these players who are most likely to destroy ADP, those will be the priorities. The players who are good players and probably are going to help your roster when you get a value on them, the second bucket, and then the guys that we tend to ignore would be the third bucket. You're not going to be drafting those, but by introducing some of those other players as possible draft picks below ADP, you're able to create some diversification within your portfolio, and you're able to do it at a good price because you're not drafting those players, the kind of middle group, unless they're are really good value. So you get those guys, the ones you're a little bit more skeptical about, at great prices. You get your own players, maybe with mild reaches. We want to have exposure to them. But one of the things that can be very helpful, and this is something that Colm and I do when we draft together, it's something I've done when I draft with Curtis or draft with Blair, is you put together your board not based on your rankings, but based on ADP and how you expect each individual round to play out. And then within that round, you figure out who your targets were going to be, and you can deal with the scenarios that come up within the course of a draft, right? That also helps prepare you for that draft, and you don't get hit when you're on the clock and say, you know, who am I going to pick now? You have all of that worked out. And if your targets in that round somehow are all gone at your pick, you can move to the next round. And that's maybe where you would take somebody who's a little bit more of a reach. So to break it down a little bit more, Colm, one of the good things about playing a lot of teams, and one of the things that was in this question is this is the first year for this drafter to play a lot of best ball, is that playing a lot of leagues then frees you up and you don't feel that pressure to reach for your guy. If you're playing, you know, one or two leagues, especially if you're playing a redraft league with, you know, your college friends or something to that effect, your work buddies, then I mean, you may be like, I'm just going to go out and draft my guys and not worry about it. And number one, that's absolutely fine. Number two, because you aren't playing 10 leagues, you're not like daring your priority targets to fall. One of the things that you can do when you're playing a bunch of leagues is you can let those guys fall and you can say, look, I'm going to get them at values as well as getting a high percentage of them. We don't want to get into a dynamic where the blinkers are on to such an extent that we feel like we have to have it. And this is one of the things that will come into play with rankings too, is if you look at my rankings, there are going to be a small handful of players that are so far above ADP that the instinct is perhaps to get them in every league. I would encourage people not to do that. I try to put the rankings out there from the perspective of where I do really see the players as being values. I think that that can help users to realize that maybe ADP isn't right, that maybe some of these players are not being thought about correctly in the wider fantasy community. But even beyond that, it's helpful to see what an individual ranker actually thinks, as opposed to just seeing kind of where they maybe have made some mild tweaks and are essentially going with ADP. Because if you see what I think, and you know, you have your other 5, 6, 7 favorite analysts, you know, what they think and what they really think, then you can use that information. Whereas if it's sort of watered down, then it's less informational to you, even when they're wrong. When you're actually getting the right rankings, you're getting information that you wouldn't otherwise get. So then you want to take that and you want to put it in the context of, okay, how do I need to draft on it? And that's sort of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, that all makes great sense, Sean, in terms of it. And there is times, like the thing you hit on there, is if you're drafting in, you know, four leagues, like if you draft that player twice, you have a 50% exposure at that point. You know, if you're drafting in 50 leagues and you draft them, you know, you have to draft them 25 times to have that same effect. So it all does balance out, and there will be times where we can't believe our luck when we get a player, you know, 8 picks after ADP, and there'll be other times where we have to take him 6 picks before ADP. It'll just depend. But something that Sean mentioned there that I really like doing, and people will know from listening to the content that we're putting out in the drafts that we do, there is certain players in certain rounds that we probably don't talk very much about, or we don't, like, they're just not really on our list. And one of my favorite things each year is Sean's list that he mentioned there with the priorities, the targets, and the kind of avoids, and that there is a good process to have. It can be tricky if you're like, let's say last year we weren't prioritizing Cooper Kupp. That can be a little bit hurtful as the season goes on. But if you are prioritizing Deebo Samuel, that can be a huge amount of joy as the season goes on. So yeah, all different processes to helping you with your drafts. Another part, John, of this question, the second part was related to that, that can result in him getting a lot of players at the same spot. So Kenneth Walker, Garrett Wilson, and Devin Singletary are mentioned, and I'm in that same boat where I'm getting a lot of Devin Singletary. But at what point should he worry about being overweight on players? So is it 50% rostered? Is it higher than that? Is it lower than that? And as you mentioned earlier, he does say it's his first year playing a bunch of best ball. So another topic on that, I talked with Michael Dubner probably about a month ago to 6 weeks ago, we talked about when to draft. And we also talked in that episode on the Road of His Best Ball podcast feed and on the Road of His YouTube channel about how to manage your bankroll. So if it is your first year playing, it is very important to manage bankroll, because we are now in June, at the end of June, but we have a long way to go before the season starts. So managing your bankroll is very important. But I also touched on there, Sean, the volume of leagues. If it is two leagues, if it is 20 leagues, if it is, no, some people are drafting in multiple thousand leagues this year. You know, if you're max entering some of these tournaments at 150 entries at a time, that can add up very quickly. So the percentage is going to vary dramatically based on how many you're playing in. But I guess we'll say for this example, maybe we'll go with 20 leagues, because that means that you can draft a player multiple times and not just have 50% of them on your roster. What is the point where you become concerned about how much you have drafted of a player? And my one, I don't know if I'll ever get to the point again where I was at with James Conner last year, because I was starting to get worried, but we were in the 40% range heading into week one when that happened.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I try not to look at it from the perspective of a specific percentage, but more from trying to make sure that I'm getting value on those guys. And as we get deeper into draft season and there's someone who is extremely highly rostered, then I'm going to move a little bit in the direction of needing a better value on them all the way through. So a player that I was hitting a lot, three or four spots above ADP in the early going, and end up getting just a huge exposure, then in the second half, maybe you're looking to get those players three, four, five, six, seven spots below ADP. I think the bankroll mention is a good one. We don't want anybody to get so excited about the potential of these contests and the fun of these contests. And one of the things I encourage people to think about is not so much the return, but the fun. I mean, if you're playing fantasy football to make money, I mean, that's going to be something that works for a handful of people who are spending, you know, all of their time on it. But so much of the value to you as a listener, as a player, is that it's so much fun. So we're going to be thinking about it from a fun perspective. We're going to be thinking about it from a perspective of not spending more money than you have. I've been fortunate enough to cash in a pretty big way on a number of circumstances, and I'm not necessarily looking to plow all of that money back in part because I do, for me personally, I want to be heavy on the players that I like. Many listeners will know one of the very lucky things that happened to me was finishing first and second in the NFFC primetime contest in 2013. If I'm not drafting some similar rosters, that's not going to happen, right? You're not going to have the players to finish both first and second unless there's a lot of overlap. And so I like to go with the players that I think give the best chance to win, even if I end up being high on them. And I know that in certain years, like I mentioned, I think there have been 4 years that I did poorly. I want to be able to withstand those years as opposed to be so diversified in all years that my upside has also been diversified away. That also means you have to be cognizant of what you're spending in the years that maybe you lose out, because you don't want to lose all your money when you hit one of these rougher years. Then I think we can get into the nuance a little bit, where there are some ways that you can play it where I think the diversification matters. I think you want a little bit more diversification early. This question obviously related to Jalen Waddle. There are some interesting names on the board in this example that is presented in terms of Nick Chubb, Mike Williams. Mike Williams, someone who's probably being overdrafted, and yet within the context of this Los Angeles Chargers offense, you can see the upside there. So if you can get him below ADP, even if you think he's overvalued, the fact that you got a better value on him than most drafters got, you'll probably want to take that and then build around him in a way that makes sense. And then you have exposure if he does hit. And so you could play it that way. We don't have Michael Pittman very high relative to consensus, but if Matt Ryan has sort of this resurgence, if he becomes sort of the Kurt Warner, then maybe you take him when he slides 4 or 5 spots below where he's going, because then when you did have him, you had him below what most drafters were playing. I also think that you want to have more diversification early, because there's less chance for a player to absolutely destroy ADP in the opening rounds because the expectations are already so high, right? So, you know, we're looking at someone, we talked about having Waddle and not having higher than Tyreek Hill straight up, but having him priced in a way or ranked in a way where we would end up with Waddle. We wouldn't necessarily end up with Hill, but if Hill falls below ADP, then you take him. Make sure you get a little bit of that exposure. The players that we're looking to get early will depend a little bit about how sort of legendary, to use the term that Patrick Kerrain has coined for running backs. You can look at that, I think, also for the wide receivers. Really trying to get the superstars at the positions as opposed to players who have a first month workload that kind of puts their projection up in this range. So that's what I would be doing there as I diversify. But you probably don't want to have all the same guys in the first 1, 2, 3 rounds. It's just so hard for them to absolutely dominate. Now, again, you're going to be on some players and not on others. For example, Jonathan Taylor was someone that we were very high on last year, because especially once he starts to fall into that, you know, 202, 203 range, the chance for him to finish is basically the 101, which is what we have been talking about through most of the summer and into July, August, was very high. And there is a big advantage to be gained from, number one, there's always a big advantage to be gained from drafting the best player. But if you draft the best player in the early second round, yeah, I mean, you still do dramatically outperform. So we are going after our players, but make sure that you're moving that around a little early. Another place where I'm okay being very heavy on a guy is if I think they're going to get more expensive. Now, sometimes you're wrong about this. There's a little bit of hubris in saying, oh, the market is wrong on these players right now. They're going to definitely get more expensive. But one of the reasons that I was drafting a lot of hyper-fragile early in Underdog was that there were running backs there that it was almost impossible for them not to get more expensive, right? Saquon Barkley was one. We've now seen him move. Breece Hall is another. We haven't really seen that move yet. I think that we will, as reports are going to continue to trickle out that, you know, he's the best player on the Jets. Travis Etienne was one, and he's taken a huge jump just in the last couple of weeks, which is unfortunate, but hopefully you had a lot of exposure to him early when the price was kind of silly. And then J.K. Dobbins is another one that I expect to go. Now, he's going to go in the other direction still for a while. And there's a, you know, if you're right on 4 or 5 of these and then wrong on 1 or 2, you come out ahead. There's a chance that Dobbins sinks and sinks and sinks. At the same time, you know, he goes out in not necessarily the preseason. I don't know if he's going to play at all, if the Baltimore running backs are going to play early on. But you have some of these practices where no one can touch him and he's through the hole and, you know, to daylight, and those reports come out. I mean, is he not going to jump into the third round? So he's one where there's a lot of range, but also on that list. And then Trey Lance, you know, I want to stop mentioning that because I don't want him to jump, but I do think that he will. So if you have players where you feel like you have to get the exposure now because you're not going to be able to get the exposure later. I mean, Javonte Williams was one such player last year where we're getting exposure early and then not so much late because you know, once a player who's sharing time with Melvin Gordon gets into round four, it's going to be difficult to beat that. It's not impossible. If Melvin Gordon had gotten hurt, then, you know, Javonte Williams perhaps is the ultimate league winner in all of 2021. But you want to kind of think through it from that perspective. And then finally, Colin, one of the things here, and Blair Andrews has the Win the Flex tool up for 2022. It's one of the favorite tools that I have. It gives you just so much kind of environmental awareness on how these leagues play out in any given year. But the other reason that I was drafting a lot of Hyperfragile and Underdog is that these are very different formats. So one of the things that you see with the Underdog is that because you have two running backs and three wide receivers guaranteed, and then the one flex, you know that you have to build a team that will work with three wide receivers. So it has to be wide receiver heavy enough to match that. But we also know that the FFPC is basically a two running back, four wide receiver format. If you're drafting running backs to get into the flex, you're almost certainly going to lose. Now, that doesn't have to happen every year. We've talked about the fact that we're going to have another 2016 at some point. And 2016 was a year where the running back heavy drafters dominated. I mean, they won all the leagues, they won all the money, and it played out very nicely. That's going to happen again. If it happens in 2022, then some of these thoughts on, oh, it's a two running back, four wide receiver format, you know, will look bad specifically for that season. But big picture, we know it's two running back, four wide receiver. It's not really being drafted that way. And part of the reason it's two running back, four wide receiver is because it's full PPR and Underdog is not. You look at the numbers here and you're getting very good values related to format. If you select wide receivers early in FFPC, you're getting a very good value related to format. If you select running backs early in Underdog, I think that you have to play these formats off of each other. And I think you can even play it off of Dynasty, where in some of the Dynasty formats, we're seeing really weird prices on players relative to where they're going in best ball. Select the player who fits the best for the format and is the best value in that format. We've got a lot of tools up at RotoViz and a lot of content up at RotoViz to help you determine what those plays are. I would feel good having heavy exposure to the players who are the right value in their format.
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, we talk a lot about how the ADP will change over the course of the year or over the course of the summer. And you touched on it there, drafting those players that you think are, there's no chance they're going to stay at those values. There's even some drafts, and an article that you had out last week, you mentioned about drafting Julio Jones in the last round or the last two rounds of drafts. You've mentioned Etienne, who's climbing up. I think Breece Hall is going to climb up. And Sean, as much as we don't want it to happen, I think that Trey Lance's value is going to continue to climb up as well. So there is a case of being aware of when to draft those. And on the reverse side of that, sometimes, like you touched on with player values and how those sometimes can go the opposite way and decline, and then you're getting players who maybe you weren't drafting early at this point of the year who you are drafting at a later stage based on how the ADPs and things shift. So lots of good conversation there. A great question coming in. Thank you again to Parker for sending that one in. If you have any questions that you want to send in to myself and Sean, we're getting some fantastic ones from the RotoViz Overtime community over the last month or so. Well, that was a misspeak on my part. I'd say since we started the podcast, Sean, we've been getting great questions, but over the last month or so, we've been getting so many fantastic ones, really thought-provoking ones, and it's great to get those in from the listeners. But that is going to bring us, Sean, to close out a week of podcasts here where we have five shows. If you haven't heard the draft that myself and Sean did over at the FFPC and that Superflex tournament, you can head back and check that out. But we will be back on Tuesday with another show. And before we go, I want to let you know, as always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get that 10% discount to get yourself access to all of that content and tools up on the website. You can use code RBRadio2022 at checkout on rotoviz.com to get access to all of that content, all of those tools, and set you up for the 2022 season. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. As always, Sean Siegel is my co-host here on the show. Check out all the shows that he's doing as well on the Stealing Bananas podcast feed with Ben Gretsch. And until we're back on Tuesday, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.